Penguin Audio presents Escaping Home by A. American. Read by Duke Fontaine. Prologue. It took weeks to walk home, but I made it. The entire time I was focused on just getting there. I never really gave much thought to what would happen afterward. Even my most pessimistic thoughts of how life would be at home didn't come close to the reality. Now our neighborhood is basically empty. Many have simply disappeared. We are down to our small group now. My family, my neighbors, Danny and Bobby, and Sarge and his gang. Fewer people around means more eyes on us, attention we certainly do not want. In the before, people used to talk about the FEMA camps and whether or not they would ever choose to go into them. In the now, with the harsh light of reality shining on the situation, many of those who said they would never be taken to one of these camps were happy to walk in on their own. We've been the target of raiders and of the federal government, both apparently trying to force us into the camps. Now we must decide whether to stay and fight or find some place to retreat to. Escape may be our only option. We have a place, the perfect place for long-term survival, really. But my family, Mel and the girls, may not be ready for it. While the rest of the country may have fallen apart, our preparations are mitigating the effects they feel. With running water, power, and abundant stored food, at least for now, they see it as an apocalyptic holiday. But there are forces at play, beyond our control, that may bring about this last desperate move. Life in the camps isn't what it appears to be. While there is food, water, and warmth, the price is near slave labor and virtual imprisonment. In the care and custody of FEMA, backed up by the DHS, those inside the camp have no rights, no freedom, and worse yet, are exposed to the possible brutality of their caretakers. Every barrel has a bad apple, and over time, those bad ones start to rot the good ones. Left unchecked, this rot can take over the entire barrel. With so much absolute power over so many helpless souls, horrors are bound to be committed. Among those in the camp is our friend Jess, who walked with Thad and me on our long adventure home. We don't know how she's faring, but with the mixed reports about the camp, one thing is certain. Surviving in the camp may prove far more difficult than the struggle outside. Chapter 1. Every day, when her work detail was over, Jess would try and visit her brother. It was best to stay busy like that, otherwise the memories would return. It was the thoughts of her mother that were the worst. The image of her mother lying in the cold dirt as the light of the flames consumed what little they had in the world, the dark crimson stain on the ground around her, and her father. He'd resisted and was made an example to the others as a result. These images were burned into her mind like an overexposed negative. Thinking back to the raid made her feel nauseous. Everything had happened so quickly. It was late in the evening when a couple of old trucks sped into their little hamlet of cabins. Before anyone could react, the shooting started. Her dad put up a fight, even after he was gunned down. Her mother ran to his side, picked up the pistol, and shot one of the raiders, but just after she hit him, she was immediately gunned down. Jess managed to make it into the woods with some of her neighbors, running as fast as her legs could carry her. Waiting as she heard the blood-curdling screams and shots was agonizing. When she returned back to her home, she found the raiders had stripped the place, taking everything they could physically carry away. And to her shock, she found her brother, Mark, lying unconscious on the ground. Jess sat on the ground with her brother's head in her lap, shocked. She tied off the wounds on his arm with her flannel and wrapped a blanket that she had retrieved from one of the smoldering homes around his stomach. But there was nothing else she could do.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?